Chapter 7. The Balance of the Seven Centers of Being. Let us take advantage of the great opportunity given to us. Let us look head-on at all these issues that recurrently assail us in our lives and that are our true inner obstacles. Thus, they will be identified and overcome.
Why do we say that we are a spiritual school and not a religion?
The reason for this is directly related to the way we view the entire universal teaching. A religion, in the horizontal sense of the term, is based on a set of dogmas, that is, on formal interpretations of certain teachings, whether they come from the universal teaching or the opinion of a particular religious leader. A spiritual school, on the other hand, always strives to base its work on a set of principles. And here we speak on purpose of an effort. After all, the line that separates a principle from a dogma is not always so obvious. And if we do not always strive to challenge ourselves, we will not be able to be sure that we correctly discern each of these things. This is the care that the school must take every time it mentions a sacred book or a passage of the universal teaching, the care to make it clear to its pupils that it does not use such texts simply because they are considered sacred by a part of humanity or even because its founders did so. Incidentally, this was and has always been the concern of the founders of our school, and if we want to be faithful to them, we must do the same. In this chapter, we will allude to some concepts and terms from the Bible, but we are not evoking them here as a way of manifesting religious dogmatism. In fact, as true Rosicrucians, we will point to a set of principles. Let us continue our reflection on illnesses and the possibility of a fundamental cure through the transformation of human consciousness. Therefore, we will evoke some principles that are related to a concept in particular, a concept that over the centuries has been covered by erroneous connotations and which thus needs to be treated here with all our care. This is the concept of sin. When we look for the origin of the concept sin, we observe that in Hebrew it is expressed by the word chatta, and in Greek by hamartia, which are verbal forms that mean to err, in the sense of not being able to reach a target, ideal, or standard. In this way, when we leave aside the rubbish of bourgeois morality and the disgusting staleness of a hypocritical religiosity, whose characteristic is to talk at length about everything that we have never been able to put into practice, we can look at the essence of the universal teaching in all its purity. So we see that the concept of sin is linked to the fact that we consistently miss the only and real goal of human life, which is to manifest, finally, the new spirit, soul, human being, in its fullness. This is the true original sin, the deviation from the original and sole purpose of life. What follows from this is, in essence, mere consequence. That is to say, from the moment we disconnect ourselves from the spirit as a single and unified ray, as the source of all lives, everything that follows in our lives is nothing more than an abuse of the vital force and of our entire system of life with its corresponding organs. What exactly do we mean by that? To direct the focus of our attention, let us leave aside for the moment everything that relates to the past of our microcosm, as we have already dealt with these questions to some extent in previous chapters. Let us focus our attention only on our current life, as if for a moment we were free of all that we inherited. At this moment, disconnected from the real objective of our existence, everything we do is, in essence, an abuse and a true outrage in the face of the nobility of the life that we should live. This continuous abuse is the misuse of the creative force and its action in the seven main energy centers of our being, and consequently, in the organs that are connected to them. This constant abuse of these seven soul centers causes our state of life to reflect a state of consciousness disconnected from the original source of life. It is for this reason that we become a phenomenon subjugated by the laws of space and time We are born, we grow, we die. The seven centers of the soul, that is, the seven chakras and everything related to them, should be filled with the seven rays of the spirit, and from them they should live. However, as we live disconnected from the spirit, the seven rays cannot take shape in our life, and our seven chakras spin in an uncontrolled and disorderly way, like a candlestick that flickers in the wind until finally it is extinguished by it. This abuse of the seven centers of the astral body, which produces a fundamental imbalance of life, is symbolically indicated in the universal teaching by the seven cardinal sins, or seven deadly sins, which means that we have missed the mark of the original life in the seven centers of our being. And so, as an inevitable and even natural consequence, the human soul is fettered by the consequences of its actions. Chained to the cycle of time, it becomes a prisoner of the death it has welcomed into its very being because of its state of life. What are these seven deadly sins? In the past, the first letter of each of them formed in Latin the word saligia, which corresponds to the first letters of each sin in Latin: superbia, avaritia, luxuria, invidia, gula, ira, acedia. In reality, such is the state of being in which we all find ourselves. After all, there is not a single human being like us who live from our mortal, eye-centered consciousness, who does not manifest this state. This represents the state of being that comes from all of our chakras, which resonate like seven musical notes and harmonize with the vibrational scale of our self-centeredness. We can observe each of these concepts relate directly to one of our energy centers. With the pineal chakra, pride, the vanity of being something other than the all-one. Ultimately, false god consciousness, the greatest of all faults, which unbalances the functioning of the pineal, which is the ruler of all the other glands of internal secretion in our organism. With the brow chakra, envy, greed for external possessions. In short, disorientation of the pituitary gland, which is the center of the soul. It is the fact of going on the search for the realization of that soul outside of oneself. With the throat chakra, laziness, indolence, and stagnation of the activity of the will, linked to the deviation and abuse of the thyroid with all its consequences. With the heart chakra, anger, the uncontrollable astral fire of the self-centered heart, where the central flame of the ego that has divorced itself from the original divine principle burns, which generates the inverse functioning of the thymus gland with all the autoimmune disorders that follow from this. With the solar plexus chakra, gluttony, the manifestation of the insatiable search for contentment caused by the loss of the real joy of living, which disrupts blood glucose regulation controlled by the pancreas. With the pelvic chakra, lust, which is the use of the creative force in an unbridled way as a source of satisfaction and achievement, with all its consequences in relation to the sexual glands and the creative power. With the root chakra, avarice, the state of life based on the fear of losing everything, which leads the human being to try to retain and possess and to survive at any cost, which unbalances the functioning of the adrenals and the cycle of adrenaline production. Friends, should we be surprised at the number of people who live tortured by all the health problems that result from the imbalance of all these glands and the organs that depend on them for their proper functioning? We understand that it is unnecessary to go into more detail here and to list the problems that are associated with each of these states, but we recommend that friends look carefully at themselves and, in the light of what has been exposed, evaluate their particular situation. Thus, we will be able to discover the origin of our problems in these fundamental deviations, in the fact that we are missing the original aim of our lives and in the dynamics of what we really do at each moment. After all, dear friends, who among us can say that they are free from these seven basic deviations of the seven centers of the astral body. All of us have our strengths in our personality. In reality, they are weaknesses in terms of all these debilities, and that is what makes some people more inclined to certain types of disharmonious behavior, and others to others. But in essence, we all carry as our family code name this family name of I-centered humanity, the name formed by the synthesis of all these states. This is why Christ, the soul of the world, says, "No one is good but God alone," Mark 10:17-18, NRSV. Well then, what is it about? Is it a question of acting as bourgeois morality, or facade religiosity suggests we do? That we contrast this state of life of fundamental selfishness with a puerile attempt to be good people and practice the seven contrary virtues, as good bourgeois, as good citizens, while in the strongholds of our bedrooms and living rooms, whether physical or virtual spaces, we can vent and manifest what we really are? No, friends. The seven original virtues, humility, charity, diligence, meekness, temperance, purity, and generosity, do not refer to a bourgeois state, to a certificate of good behavior that we can develop with. Years of training, not even if we try to train ourselves within a spiritual school. It is not about that, as that is simply impossible and useless. Furthermore, the universal teaching is not a compendium of impulse, sibilities, or uselessness. The seven original virtues refer to the seven rays of the spirit, to the original power that should fill each of the seven centers of our astral body, so that a state of consciousness emanates from it that generates a completely pure and healthy state of life. These seven rays are original will, unconditional love, active intelligence, creative harmony, applied wisdom, unshakable devotion, and pure action. They are the basis of Gnostic magic. Only as these seven rays penetrate our being and make their way through our subtle and organic structure will the source of suffering, imbalance, and all illnesses gradually fade away. Then a new state of sanity, of true health, begins to establish itself in our system of life. Friends, until the spirit wins, we will need to walk our path of the endurer, our path of gradually demolishing our self-centeredness. But we also need to recognize that most of the time it is this now refined and disguised egocentrism that explains the endless and recurrent sick states in which we live immersed. They are proof that the spirit has not yet triumphed in us. They are the sign that our soul, therefore, our true consciousness, still has to fight its inner battle, the battle for the demolition of its egocentrism on the basis and in the strength of the spirit spark atom. If we do not look at ourselves to discover what is the cause of our recurrent sick states, if we just limit ourselves to medicating and remedying ourselves and looking for an external cure, we will only be postponing the resolution of these problems of this life to a next one, and thus we will not take advantage of the opportunity that is being offered to us. We are absolutely not suggesting that we should be negligent with our bodies and adopt a mystical or even childish attitude, failing to seek the necessary and adequate treatment when it is needed. That would simply be inadmissible for a serious pupil of the school. We are referring to the fact that pupils on the path also have the holy obligation to investigate through the faculty of superior understanding of the new soul that is gradually emerging in them. What are the organic imbalances, mainly those of a similar and recurrent nature, which arise and manifest in them as the visible aspect of a state of being that has not yet been conquered and transformed? In view of this, the pupils in question need to do something concrete. They need to recognize what prevents them from going forward and what blocks their path, so that in the strength of the other, in themselves, they surrender and open the way to a new fundamental transformation, not only of their consciousness, but mainly of the cycles and metabolism of their organism. In other words, their state of life. And friends, in addition to the rose of fire in them, the pupils can and must also count on the impersonal help of the healing field, the impersonal radiation of love that comes from the living body of the spiritual school, from which flow the radiations of the grace of the chain of the universal brotherhood. However, this source of powers can only be used if a real connection is established between the pupil's being and the living body of the school, but also, and above all, if the pupils themselves recognize and accept the faults of their behavior, thus identifying the origin of their own suffering. In this way, they will open themselves to true Gnostic magic, to the essence of healing, to the structural transformation of their being. Then one day, they too will say, as did Paul, "Death has been swallowed up in victory, the victory of the Spirit."